find me one just like you. Betty Five-O. Betty Five-O.
Hello, and welcome to Betty and the Sky with a Suitcase. I'm Betty. I'm a flight attendant for a major airline, and I'm also an avid traveler. So I bring you stories from the airplane, from the pilots who fly those airplanes, and from my travels around the world. This episode is called Crews Behaving Badly, which is pretty self-explanatory. It's in a job where you come in contact with so many people, there are times where you just can't help the temptation of saying something funny back to a passenger or doing something that's ever so slightly crossing the line. So the music for this episode I found on GarageBand.com, and it's called Betty 5-0, because I'm basically going to be like a cop pulling over these crew members for behaving badly. And at the end of this episode, I will have an update on my recent trip to Europe, where I did a couple flights to and from Kuwait, bringing the military to and from Kuwait. So let's go ahead and begin and listen to some of our stories about crews behaving badly.
Okay, I have a male friend. He is really, really funny and has a dry sense of humor. So when we were flying from Frankfurt to India, we had a lot of people from India there, and they're used to having, those are mainly people that have money, and they have mainly mates with them. So
a lot of servants.
A lot of servants. And here, Franco is walking down the aisle, and this Indian lady, sir, and handed Franco a baby. He said, here, would you change my baby? I think she meant change the diaper of the baby, and Franco just looked at it as, okay, sure. Franco walked around with the baby and looked around and found a black family who was in the military with a baby about the same size. He said, excuse me, ma'am, can I borrow your baby for a minute? So Franco took this cute little black baby to the Indian lady and said, excuse me, ma'am, here, I changed your baby. And the lady was screaming and yelling. So what happened to the baby, her baby? She said, I changed your baby. You asked me to change your baby.
Betty 5-0. All the boys down at County talk about the line you had them walk. Girl, they're so proud to say that they've been put away by Betty 5-0.
Okay, puke story. I was in Nashville, Tennessee, working for American Eagle, and we had bad weather all around. We were going from Nashville to Knoxville, short flight. We knew it was going to be bumpy, no way to get around it, so the captain and I decided, we know everybody's going to puke, so on the way over there, let's have a contest. How many people going either way, you know, can get, you know, how many pukers you can get on your flight?
You didn't tell the passengers this, though, right?
No, just between the two of us. Because we knew it was going to happen anyway, so you might as well have fun with it, yeah. So on the way to Knoxville, the captain had seven people puke. Because once one goes, the rest of them start going and they smell it. But on the way back, I only had four. But I had one person fill five bags full. I don't know what the guy ate. The flight attendant's calling us, telling us. He's like, I'm handing this kid another bag. Turns out we land in Nashville. It's like a 10-year-old kid, like 90 pounds. I have no clue where he got five bags worth of puke, but I won.
You were going to talk about one of our flight attendants. There's some people, you know, they can just get away with everything. You know, they can say anything and they don't seem to ever get in trouble. So what did he say to somebody on your flight?
There was a lady sitting in a seat and she looked like she'd had a rough night. She was very disheveled. So he goes up to her and he says, honey, where are you going today? And she goes, to Los Angeles. And he goes, oh my, all the way to L.A. without a hairbrush?
She's got a real firm bill, she's always working out. What's behind her badge, I'd love to find out. I'm gonna meet her brother, I can't say, but I think I might have found a way. Going out tonight, gonna jack up a bang. She put me in cuffs and throw me in the tank. Finally got to meet that girl, got to meet her for myself. Betty 5-0, Betty 5-0.
Well, back when I was flying C-130s on active duty, they were E-models, And they didn't have a bathroom or a urinal. Actually, they had a urinal on the back ramp. It was kind of a trapeze act to stand on a little platform and hold yourself against some of the stanchions and hold the little flap door open for the urinal and use it. It was kind of tricky. And if you didn't watch someone do it, it would be hard to figure out how to do it on your own. So most people got up there and were pretty precariously balanced. We used to fly some fighter pilots places sometimes when they were deploying. The ones who were unfortunate enough to not get to take one of the fighters to the location, they went with the maintenance troops and the spare parts on our C-130s, and they invariably came up and made fun of our airplane on the flight deck. Well, they shouldn't have done that. Our loadmaster's on headset. He's in the back of the airplane, and we just wait for the world's greatest fighter pilot to go back and take a leak. So while he's up there precariously balanced on the stanchion trying to hold on to things and make it all work, we unhook the rudder servo off the autopilot, and we give the tail a good wagging back and forth. He always pees all over his leg when they do that.
Okay, I was walking down the aisle with a trash cart, picking up trash, and this lady says, "Are you trash?" To which I said, "Well, I used to be when I was younger, but now that I'm older, I've cleaned up my act."
Down at the county, I talk about the lesson that you taught. Girl, I'm so proud to say that I've been put away by Betty Bible. Betty Bible, I need you so. Betty Bible.
Used to lay over in Honolulu on his trip. Every Monday he'd go in on the same trip, and the hotel would always put the flight crews in the exact same rooms. So that he went in on one Monday and checked into the hotel in Honolulu, and his TV didn't work. It was real scratchy and snowy, and he couldn't see. So when he checked out, he wrote up a maintenance thing, said that TV in my room doesn't work very good. Next Monday he went back and he got the same room. TV was still really bad, couldn't really see the picture. So when he left, he filled out another maintenance request and said, TV in my room doesn't work.
Right.
Well, the third Monday he came back, got the same room again. Turned the TV on, it didn't work.
He's probably a little tired of this by this point.
So he took the TV, he threw it out of the high story window.
He threw it out the window?
Threw it out the window. And then when he left the next day, he filled out a maintenance form and said, "There's no TV in my room."
Well, that was probably more effective.
Problem solved, you know?
Passenger asked a flight attendant if they serve nuts, and she said, "Yes, we don't discriminate."
Okay, it's during boarding. It's on the 767, and I'm in the back of economy boarding, and there's a gentleman and his 13-year-old son, and they're both good size. They're coming down the aisle, and the 13-year-old is looking a little green, maybe, yes. And all of a sudden he bends over and hurls in the aisle and keeps hurling and hurling because that morning in the hotel they had a free buffet breakfast. So we're all just, oh my God, watching it. And Michael in the back gets on the piano and goes, clean up and I'll do, clean up.
He actually got on the PA and said it?
clean up aisle two.
Well, this is a story about an earthquake, the big, big earthquake in Anchorage in the early 60s. And a friend of mine arrived in Anchorage and decided she would go out. So she changed her clothes and went to the elevator, pushed the button, and the doors opened. And right as the doors opened, she looked down and realized she had not changed her purse. And her purse did not match her ensemble. So she apologized to the folks in the elevator. The door shut. She turned to go back into her room, and they had the great big earthquake.
This was the huge earthquake.
And she said it was the best thing that ever happened because her purse did not match her ensemble. She was spared 12 hours in a locked elevator with all these people. She said several of who were probably obnoxious people on her flight.
Been put away.
As a famous person aboard, and again, my friend was at the door boarding and said, excuse me, would you mind hanging up my coat? And my friend said, do you mind just waiting for a minute? And he said, Beck says, well, so do you know who I am? And my friend looked at him and said, just a minute. Picked up the PA and says, ladies and gentlemen, does anybody know who this man is? He seems to have forgotten his name. And the Beck was very upset, turned around and went back to his seat and didn't say a word for the rest of the flight.
All right, L-1011 on the way to from Dallas to Honolulu. And somewhere before they started descending into Honolulu, one of the flight attendants came up with a camcorder and said, you know, I know you guys aren't supposed to do this, but can you get some pictures of the island for us on your way in? So the co-pilot took the camera from her, and they got a plan up. And on the way in, he starts taking pictures out the window of the different islands and naming them. And then as he pans across, the captain is up in the seat with his pants down around his ankles, full moon. He zooms in on the full moon, leaves it there for a good long 10 seconds or so. And when they land and taxi back in, they give the camera back to the flight attendant. And that night over beers, they had a lot of laughs. And were thinking of some more things they could do with their camera. So the next day, they were getting ready to push back on their way back to Dallas. And they called her up there to the cockpit, and they said, why don't you give us your camera? We're taking off the other direction. We'll get some pictures of the other side of the island. And she says, oh, that wasn't mine. That was a passenger's.
And now for that update on my trip to and from Kuwait. I only ended up doing one turn in and out of Kuwait. When I've done them before, sometimes they've turn into like 9 days and you're going back and forth and back and forth. But this time it was only one. And I learned some lessons on this trip. I learned that you probably shouldn't promote anything until you actually have the product. Because when I did this before, the military personnel would be quiet and reserved, sometimes tired on the way in, considering they're going to be in, you know, Iraq for a year, and then coming home, they'd be very excited and rowdy and want to chat, and you can get all these stories, and that's what I was hoping for. And this time, well, it was different. It's different for a lot of reasons. It could be because it was midnight when we picked them up in Kuwait. They'd been up all day. They basically had dinner and went to sleep, and it's not like I could exactly say, excuse me, could you wake up and tell me some great stories in this little microphone and recorder I have? Could have to do with, you know, the changing attitudes towards the war, or that we don't know when it's going to end. But anyway, they were kind of quiet and tired, and I was a little disappointed. And, you know, it's certainly not their job to entertain me. So I learned a lesson. You know, I shouldn't probably promote anything until you actually have it. And it's also like travel advice. I give a lot of travel advice, and I could tell you about some fantastic trip that I had, and I could tell you where to stay and where to eat and what to do. And then you could take that exact same trip, and depending on who you're traveling with, what the weather's like, how your health is, any number of variables, you could come back and go, eh. So it's the same kind of thing. You know, you just never know what you're going to get until you get there. So hopefully I'll get another trip. I'm going to keep putting in for them, and maybe I can get a daytime flight leaving, and I can get some great audio to share with you. But this time, it just didn't happen. But I did have a good time in Europe. So I hope you'll join me again next time for another episode of Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase, and I hope you'll forgive me for not having any great military stories to share with you. So that's it. See you again next time. Bye.